Hey, Casey.
Hey, Jacob.
So, I got a question for you.
What?
What do a snarky high schooler who is ostracized by her student body for what she chooses to do with hers and an aging black comedian who creates a flamboyant alter ego, Dolomite, to catapult his career have in common?
I don't know. What do they have in common?
Well, we'll find out today as we make
the movie connection.
That theme never gets old.
I love that stuff. Me too. It's so good.
Yeah. Welcome in, everybody. Hello. I'm Jacob.
And I'm Casey.
And this is the podcast, The Movie Connection. Well, we don't have to say it together every time, but I like it. I like that you're on it.
I'm on board.
Welcome back. This is episode 3. I feel like we are finally, like, you know,
kind of hitting the stride.
Getting the grease.
And, still working on finding our way with the segments, but I think that we're...
Sure, I think they're mostly there. Like, we definitely have our Q&A.
We're getting there, guys. And we're having fun.
Absolutely. I was just talking off air. Like, I really look forward each week to, like, coming in and seeing, like, how are we going to connect these movies? Especially this week. Like, these are pretty opposite. For those of you who... are familiar, we assigned each other our movies for the week.
Mm-hmm.
And what were the... So I watched Easy A.
Yeah, you did.
And Casey.
I watched Dolomite Is My Name.
Dolomite Is My Name. And yeah, so the... I mean, talk about, like... like in our little intro, it even mentions, like, wait, Emma Stone, like, you know, sorry, but white girl, red hair. versus, Eddie Murphy. Like, need I say, like, Eddie Murphy, big flamboyant, like, it takes place in the 70s, this movie. Like, it's crazy.
God, it's so good.
Really opposite, but I think I found something. I don't know about you. But...
I've got one connection.
Oh, good.
So just one, guys.
Just one. But that's part of, you know, it's part of the fun. I like that element to it.
Me too.
I think I went first last week. Let's start off with you, Casey. Tell us a little bit about your movie.
All right. Well, let's see. Rudy Ray Moore, who is based off a real person, by the way, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, shit. So we got a little biopic.
Too. Yeah, we do. Rudy Ray Moore is a performer looking for his big break.
Mm.
He finds his break by creating a character named Dolomite.
Mm-hmm.
Rudy really wants to be seen and remembered. He wants to be famous.
Yeah.
He really wants to prove the naysayers wrong, so he creates an anti-establishment film with Kung Fu.
Yeah.
Will this be Rudy's make it or break it?
Awesome. Yeah, that's... There you go. And you know what? That kind of gets me to want to watch it. You mentioned the cast. Like, talk about that. Like, what did you think of were you aware? Oh, okay. So first and foremost, have you heard of this movie before?
I have never heard of it.
Okay.
And this was a Netflix film, right?
Yeah.
So I watch a lot of those Netflix films.
And they usually pop up and shit too. Because they, you know, they want to jam them down your throat. And they're like, watch this shit.
Yeah, but I had never...
2019 or something like that?
Right. Came out in 2019. Yeah. Never heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
So many stars in this. There's Eddie Murphy, obviously.
Of course, Eddie
Murphy. We've got Keegan-Michael Key.
Yeah, right. Keegan-Michael Key. Love Key and Peele.
Craig Robinson.
That's the guy from Pineapple Express. Was that him?
He's the one
Craig Robinson.
Right. He's the one from Hot Tub Time Machine. Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah, yeah.
So many
and
other
Pineapple
things.
Pineapple Express. Yeah,
he was in The Office. Okay, yeah, cool. Pineapple Express. Shrek. He's been in a lot of things.
Wait, what? Hold on, Shrek. Hold on.
Hold up.
Yeah, hold up. Speaking of connections, this is a connection to my childhood, dear Tuck.
Oh.
What did he play? That's weird.
Shrek Forever After.
Okay.
No, he is in Trek.
Oh, shit.
Who is he in Trek? Let's find out.
And Sausage Party. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Don't recommend that one to me.
No, I won't. Fun story about that, guys.
You've seen it? Oh, no.
In the theater.
Oh, no.
With my mother-in-law.
Oh, no. Say it isn't so.
Fucked up, man.
It's really fucked up.
Why doesn't it tell me who he played?
Why? Maybe he was additional voices.
Craig.
You there, ogre. God, what if he was the mirror the whole time?
Cookie the ogre.
Oh, Cookie.
In Shrek Ever After, but I don't know what he... It says he's in Shrek 1 as well, but maybe he is just, like, one of the extra voices.
And maybe his scene got deleted. Weird. Okay. So interesting. Weird. So you were unfamiliar with this. You were uninitiated.
Right.
Okay.
But I will say Rudy Ray Moore is somebody I've heard of.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So
I've heard of him. Oh, probably because... Yeah, as the godfather of rap, perhaps?
Right, yeah. Right.
So, along the same lines, have you ever seen any... So, the movies that were being portrayed here, the movies that Dolemite is involved with and all that good stuff, are what's called blaxploitation films?
Right.
And have you ever seen any blaxploitation films?
I don't think that I have.
I doubt... Like, I have had a feeling probably not.
Yeah, because if... Yeah, I highly doubt it.
Like, yeah. They were big in the 70s and everything. Now, here's the thing. Now you can look at them with like a level of judgment, sure, mm-hmm. because they are blaxploitation. They are capitalizing on some stereotypes and everything like that of the black people. However, the other side of the coin is that these movies were made by the black community and like, you know, black filmmakers and black artists. So, you know, it's like, again, they were kind of, you know, at the time, like using the system, like kind of to help serve their needs in mm-hmm. a way. So mm-hmm. It's a really interesting. I kind of love that dichotomy of it too.
Totally,
it's just like blaxploitation. Oh no, isn't that bad? Like that's of course from my standpoint, it's like, is that that bad? And like come to find out, the black community, it's still mixed, but they're just
right.
Like,
I would say it would be really bad if like white people were making the films, since it was created by black people and most of them were loved by black people, like I would say that it's just part of like their culture in that time period, you know?
Yeah, for sure. So it took me a while to kind of get used to that, but yeah, now it's, and this movie does such a good job at portraying it.
Totally.
Okay, so Q&A. We can so you've never seen any blaxploitation films. So Eddie Murphy stars in this movie, for goodness sake.
Yeah, he does.
What are some of your favorite Eddie Murphy performances? Not Eddie Murphy movies necessarily, but Eddie Murphy performances.
Oh god, too many, right? Mushu.
Mushu, like it
you
makes
guys,
the
that's
cut.
Gotta that's gotta be in
I
my
mean
top.
Donkey's gotta be in
Donkey,
there.
Donkey, Dr. Doolittle,
Yeah, oh wow.
Yeah, no. I'm pulling it back.
Yeah. I have a special place in my heart for Nutty Professor.
Nutty Professor was so good. That fat suit, though.
Yeah, dude. And
when I was a kid, that was like the funniest shit in the world. Now I don't know if I think it...
I've heard mixed things. Like, people have a love for it. It's kind of tied to nostalgia. It's not as bad. Like, you think it's going to be worse than it really is.
I just think Eddie Murphy is, like, just one of those people that when he's acting, like, he acts his ass off in whatever part you give him. And he really puts his heart and soul into it. And there's just a piece of him in like every single thing he's in.
Yeah.
Like part of his character shines out. And yeah. I love that.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Because he's so a fun. pretty awesome dude. Very positive.
The father of one of Scary Spice's children. Did
Wait,
you know
what?
That?
I did not know that? What the fuck?
Yeah. They have Come like on. A 13-year-old girl together.
Weird.
Super weird.
Isn't it?
That he was with her. I can't picture it, man.
So with all the, like, this is not a kind of movie that you're, like, flocking to see. What did you connect with in the movie, though? What were you able to
Well, I love the music. The soundtrack is great. The
soundtrack's great.
The clothing.
That funky soundtrack.
The clothing is so fucking fantastic. The costume designers in this, they should all be getting a lot of money.
They got nominated.
Yeah, because the outfits were just freaking fresh. They were so good. I love how much velvet was splayed in there. Even like the lampshade in one of the scenes was really freaking good. So the props were great.
Yeah.
You know, and the story was really cool too.
Right.
I think everybody can kind of relate to like wanting to like make something of themselves, right?
For sure, yeah. That's kind of the tried and true like movie, you know, plot.
Yeah, yeah, it totally
the
is.
The underdog, like this is an underdog story to a degree, right?
It is, and it is like about race, but it's not but the not center really. Of the film. And it's like, an undercut, you know?
I think this is coming out on Juneteenth is when this is, when this episode is coming out. So I wanted, like, the go-tos are, like, typically this is a day of, like, it's a day of celebration because this is when America really kind of became, like, mm-hmm. free in a way, yeah. if you want to go there, because this just went, like, up until this point, like, black people were not, you know, considered free and everything like mm-hmm. that. So Juneteenth is a way to celebrate right. that. But, you know, a lot of movies that get recommended for Juneteenth are the more serious stuff, and I just wanted yeah. one that, like... You know,
this is so fun.
This kind of spoils my why did I make you watch this. It's a celebration of, like, it's like, yeah, but look at what, like, look at how far we've come and, like, where we can go, because we all know that it only got better from the 70s, too.
Totally.
So, yeah. Yeah, Eddie Murphy, like, he really nailed so this. Good. I think he was nominated for an Academy Award for this part.
As he should be.
Yeah.
He really acted his ass off here.
Do you think, I mean, is this one-to-one ratio? Like, how good of a Rudy impression was he doing versus, like, I just felt like it was good to have Eddie Murphy doing this.
Me too. I totally agree.
Yeah.
That's what he does, right? Is impressions. Like, that's, like, one of the things that he does, you know?
Yeah, right.
And so for him to, like, I'm sure he studied up and watched this guy's movies and, like, really channeled him.
Right.
And yeah. did awesome. He did so good.
Because I listened to, like, I wanted to hear the real version of that that song that he does with...
The Dolomite Is My Name song?
Yeah, well, no, the one that he does with the girl that he takes under
his
wing.
Oh, my God. Lady Reed, who yes. I love, by the way, guys.
Great character. Yeah, great character. Holy, like, I loved that scene, like, when she gets introduced, because at first I didn't think that she was going to be a central character. I thought it's like, oh, this is just establishing the environment. It's like, oh, yeah, oh, shit, yeah, fighting couple. Oh, shit, yeah, he hit her. Oh, no, like, is Rudy going to step in? What's going on here? And it's right. like, nope. She handles herself yeah. brilliantly and lays that motherfucker out.
She's so good.
She was great. And they sing this song together, and I loved that scene. And
you're stepping on my favorite scene, man.
Damn it! Let's get right into it. What was your favorite scene?
My favorite scene is when him and Lady Reed sing together.
That's
for
crazy.
The first time.
That's my favorite scene, too.
Okay, yeah. It's just like you watch her character go from this, like, she's sure of herself. She knows who she is. She doesn't take shit from a man. Mm. But she doesn't have confidence.
Right, right.
So you take this woman that has all these layers, and you put her on stage, and you put her in a character, and yeah. you watch her blossom, and you watch their chemistry. They had amazing chemistry.
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
I loved it.
And Eddie Murphy did a pretty good job, too, with the song. And I listened to the real version. It's really funny. Like, yeah, give it a listen. Like, they did a pretty good job with it.
That's
but
awesome.
Eddie Murphy and hers version
yeah,
was
great. Yeah,
that's
my favorite scene.
Her whole story arc really was,
so
like, the
good.
Best.
Oh,
like,
because
then her last scene with Eddie Murphy, where she, like, thanks him and shit, is like,
oh,
what the fuck?
So sweet.
I was not kind of prepared for how uplifting the movie was.
It's very uplifting. It totally is. You get a really good sense of the world after you watch it.
Yeah.
I can do anything if I set my mind to it. Look at him. Yes. Look what he did.
Any standout performances? Maybe we should make a caveat to this thing. Maybe favorite performances outside of the lead role, I guess?
Yeah, because Eddie Murphy's obviously...
The
excellent, but I would
so
definitely...
So outside of the lead, who would you say is like the standout performance?
I would say, I don't have her name up, but Lady
oh,
Reed.
Oh, Lady
like,
Reed. Yeah,
she,
right.
Devine Joy Randolph.
Ooh, there you go.
That's,
nice.
She's fantastic. Devine. I also think that Keegan Michael Key was amazing. Yeah, I love him.
I
it was
gotta
fun
say,
seeing
I don't
Snoop
know,
in there.
Man. I loved Wesley Snipes.
Wesley
like,
Snipes
his
was
shit
so
was,
great. He's a
fuck?
Director, right?
Yeah.
He
what
was
the
so
fuck?
Great. Yeah. I don't know how you can pick a favorite performance in this
it's
when it's so star-studded.
Solid cast.
So fun. It was so fun.
And then favorite, okay, now then, so that, so rating, like what, out of 5 stars, what would you give this?
I'd give it a 4.
Nice. Solid four. Yeah. For sure. And then, so with that in mind, would you rewatch this or would you recommend it or both?
Yes and yes. I would definitely rewatch it and I would definitely recommend it. It's so fun. It's definitely something that put me in a really good mood.
Yeah, for sure. Like, see, I know, like, it's really uplifting. It's really positive. Like,
it is,
like,
yeah.
Again, like, sometimes, like, you kept waiting for the other shoe to drop. It's like, oh no, when's this guy gonna be fucking racist as fuck? Oh no, like, shit.
Right.
But, you know. Just some casual racism, but
just a little bit. Like,
but you know, it was the, but I, they, yeah, they yeah. did great.
They did so good.
Good for them. Any, were you able to make any connections?
So the one connection I have, between the two films?
No, or, not between the two films.
So I have the connections.
Any like broad connections to like there's maybe like, other films or
there's
like,
a lot. Mm. Hold on guys. So, like, Rosemary's Baby, that was mentioned several times.
Ah, Rosemary's Baby, yep.
Leave It to Beaver was mentioned. Gunsmoke was mentioned. King Kong was mentioned. There's, like, Shaft was mentioned.
Yeah, a lot of... They did make a lot of references.
They referenced so many things. Hold on, I'm trying to pull up the other movies. Because there's actually an entire... Dolomite is my name. Mm. Movies. Dolomite movies. Which I think is definitely a good thing to connect as well.
Well, see, and that's a good question. Like, would you watch any of these Dolomite movies?
I mean, I have a thing for, like, pretty shitty movies. Like, yeah. I think that, you know, get really high, watch a shitty movie. It's super fun.
Yeah.
Dolomite and then The Human Tornado.
Yeah. There
and you then go. The Legend of Dolomite and Shaolin Dolomite.
Shaolin Dolomite. Holy shit, that sounds great.
So, yeah, I definitely I'm curious enough to kind of want to like watch them and right. and see, right. Or at least watch the first one that this is loosely based around, just right. out of curiosity.
Yeah, that the Human Tornado looked pretty good. Good, quote unquote, good.
Well, because it's like this funny thing too of like. You know, at the end of the movie, they show scenes from the real movie.
They did pretty good at the comparison. They love to do that. They love to show off.
And I like
look
that.
At how good we did it, like making it look like. And they did. They did pretty good.
The sex scene that was
close, so great.
That was a close second for me, guys. So that scene hilarious. Is so freaking
and that
funny.
Was just such a
and
great
just like
idea.
The way they
way to
like
take the way to roar take the edge
with laughter, like
yeah.
ugh, so funny.
Yeah.
I love that so much.
You know, a connection to another movie on my list for you,
ooh.
Which you might get at some point.
Ooh.
The writers Scott Alexander and Larry Karaszewski also wrote Ed Wood, which is very similar to Dolomite. Frankly, I hate to do. Sorry, I'm playing the race card, but it's all white. Like, yeah,
oh, it's the white version.
It's like the white version of Dolomite.
I see.
But really great. Still, it's Tim Burton's best movie.
Oh, damn. Does it have Johnny Depp in it?
Of course.
Is it, was it in the 80s? I think I've seen it.
90s, 80s, 90s, maybe?
I might have
maybe
seen it.
Maybe you've seen it.
Damn. Oh, nope, haven't seen it.
Okay.
I'll watch it.
Cool.
When you tell me to. I'll wait.
Nice. All right, so that's Dolomite.
Dolomite and, is my name.
All right, so... All right, my turn. So I will say, full disclosure, guys, I did not write out my synopsis like I normally do, so this might meander a bit, but we, you know, the Q&A is where we really get to the meat and potatoes of the matter.
Yeah.
And I'm sure most of you listeners are probably familiar with this one, so
I
you could probably teach
so,
me a
ladies
thing or
ladies and
two.
Gentlemen.
It's I went way too long without seeing this one. Easy A. Millennials rejoice! It's Easy A, which follows a snarky but likable high schooler named Olive, played by Emma Stone, one of my favorite actresses.
She's amazing.
Who spends a weekend doing very little, and one little white lie spoken to her friend how do you say it?
Rhiannon.
Rhiannon. Mm-hmm. Spoken to her friend Rhiannon, played by Ali Mashalka of Phil of the Future, I believe.
Yeah.
That she spent the night with a college-age boy. Scandal. which is a white lie that quickly snowballs into a fight for her reputation mm-hmm. against an array of obstacles, including a Bible-thumping witch with a capital B, played by Amanda Bynes, by the way.
Yes.
Need I say more? Amanda Bynes was a big part of a lot of millennials' childhood, I think, because you probably were watching Nickelodeon, and if you were watching Nickelodeon, you were probably watching...
The Amanda Show.
And all that. Yes. And the Amanda Show. Yeah.
Both of them.
Amanda, please. Very sad. We'll get to that. A judgmental ex-friend. Yeah. The same one I talked about. Ally Machalco, mm-hmm. people. Like, some shit goes down. Mm-hmm. And by the way, we got a teacher who struggles with an indiscretion of her own that becomes an obstacle for all of.
Yeah.
Played by Lisa Kudrow. Again, yeah. This is what I'm talking about. This is such a millennial linchpin movie.
It is.
Because you got Lisa Kudrow here, who is Friends alumni. So there you go. Like, it has so many connections to millennials.
Not playing the best person.
No. And that was a surprise. But despite it all, Olive is an innovator. She uses her scandalous rumor mill to help, quote unquote, some of the wayward misfits of her school. And she learns to hold a mirror up to the uber conservative society that holds so much power.
Yeah.
You know, and with songs and good
quirk
stuff
and fun
and
shit.
Really good color, like it's really bright, like I really
yeah,
I like
the
palette
good,
of the
yeah.
movie. And so this was, I was uninitiated. I had heard nothing but good things about Easy A. I would always pretend. Did I pretend that I had seen Easy A to fit in? Absolutely.
We all have those movies, right?
Right.
I was
and
just telling Josh about
Easy
one.
Easy A felt like a safe bet because I didn't need to see it because mm-hmm. I knew, like, it was amazing.
Right.
But I just didn't fully understand how amazing. And now I appreciate it.
Yeah.
There's some problematic stuff. Some stuff doesn't
say,
age well.
This was made in what year?
Oh,
2000...
yeah, 2000,
something.
Early 2000s, right? Or was it 2011? Look it up.
I'm doing it.
Look it up.
2010.
See, okay, I'm liking this year. 2010, 2011. Millennials, as we get further away from the 2000s, we're judging the hell out of our 90s,
yeah,
2000s.
We are.
You know, and it's what happens.
Right?
It's just what happens.
Well, plus, I think it's good that our generation does that,
not
to tangent too much, but, like, I don't think that a lot of previous generations really did that. They looked at everything, and they were like, this is so good. Why don't you like this?
Yeah.
But our generation, we're a little too harsh sometimes,
yeah,
but I think that it makes
us
more thoughtful.
Well, and we get butthurt too.
We do.
You know,
we get a little bit.
But we're also willing to, like, listen and make those adjustments for the most part.
Yeah. And sometimes you'll be like, or I will be like, you know, I know this isn't good.
Yeah. Right,
but
right.
I like this still,
yeah,
because it's something I have fond memories associated with it, you know?
And we're getting more comfortable with saying it's like, yeah, it is nostalgia factor.
Right.
Because what we're learning is early 2000s. Yuck. Like, not good. Mid-2000s.
Mid.
Not good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's when it goes bad. 2010, 2011, we're getting good again. Like,
yeah,
it starts
to get good,
like,
again.
It,
mm-hmm.
It's going good.
But, like, 2005 to 2008,
oof,
not great
rough
years, you guys.
Rough. Yeah. Because 2000 even, like, kicked off with it. Like, 99, 2000 is one of the best, like, years
of
movies.
And TV.
Yeah, for sure. So let's see. So that was that. On to
ready
the
for
Q&A,
my questions?
Right? Let's go for it. Yeah.
Okay. Did you read Scarlet Letter in high school?
Shit. This is crazy. This is why I felt a big connection to this movie, is because, yeah, I lived this. I lived this scenario. Not, you know, I didn't have an Olive. God, if only we had an Olive in Oregon City High School. Are you kidding me? She would be. I don't want to think about what would happen to her. Okay. I did. It was assigned. I did not like it. You might even remember. I wrangled you into an assignment for that. I think because one of the options was, you can take a scene from the book and put it on tape. And, you know, that counts as the same as a report. Anytime that was an option, yeah, you bet your ass
I'm
doing
Jacob
that.
Jacob would do that.
Mm-hmm. I would grab it. It's like, Casey, you... come here. Okay. You
come
sit there.
Be a whore.
Here's an A. All right. Now hold that up and say that you have to wear it and shit. Like, look really guilty. Okay. Now I'm going to, like, strangle you or something. Like, I forget. I don't know. But no. I do remember that. And
you did not like weird. It. Yeah. Yeah.
And it was not a good, very good book. Yeah.
Right. It's definitely an interesting novel.
And it like Olive points out, like, why the hell are they teaching this still?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know?
So this was made in 2010. Do you think that now in 2021, females still face this level of like slut shaming, shunning, double standard that we really see Olive go through in this film?
Unfortunately, yeah. Like, and actually at the same level. Like, I wanted to be able to say that it's gotten better. Sure, it has gotten better to some degree, but no, it's the same level. It's a woman will always be met with, scorn.
Guys all get high fives.
Yep. Right. And like, even like, and hence Promising Young Woman, right? Like, totally. That's kind of what it was talking about. Interesting. Like,
yeah, mm-hmm. There's another connection for us.
Hey, there we go. See, and this is what happens. We keep making the connections as we go along. Ooh, just wait until we get to the finale of the series. I bet you're all wondering how those like letters of our MOVIE, on the poster, how those are connected. How
you guys
possibly connect? Anyway, tangent. All right.
Oh, this one's just kind of a fun fact, but did you know that Jennifer Lawrence was also tried for the part of Olive?
I gotta tell you, like, Emma Stone won this role, but I would not have hated a J.
Me
Law.
Too. I'm glad it was Emma Stone, because this was actually my first introduction to Emma Stone.
Yeah.
And I, like, followed her after this and started watching religiously pretty much anything that she would be in.
Yes.
But, Jennifer Lawrence would have done good,
too. She would have killed it. God, it would have been almost too much to have J-Law as the friend. But that would have been good casting, too, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
She could have played Ally Machalka's character.
She could have. So how did you feel about Miss Griffith, which is Lisa Kudrow,
I'm
sleeping
still processing.
With a student? Yeah.
I'm still processing. Lisa Kudrow do that?
Do you feel like we got like a full closure on that? Like, in a different film, they probably would have had her arrested or something, right?
Something, because she definitely got off easy, and
because her husband just got a divorce basically in the end,
and that was surprising. I was a little uneasy with how much how much attention they gave that, if you will, or how Olive really struggled with that, like really felt bad. And I guess you would, but it's just like no, like in the end, like they're pieces of shit, so does it really matter, Olive? Don't feel too bad Olive.
Yeah. All right, and now our three staple questions. What's your favorite scene?
Favorite scene? Oh, yeah. So, favorite scene, I had to write it down. Because it was with the parents, where they keep saying that. They just keep saying a word, right? T. And, like, this scene goes on for, like, 5 minutes, and I'm just like, how is it still funny? Like, how is it still, like... entertaining,
but it is.
And by the way, her parents, amazing, like
they're so good, right?
But think about in real life, these are the parents that piss you off, though.
Yes, that's
right?
True.
Okay, cool.
Like, totally.
I'm like, these are the most entertaining parents to see, like on film and everything, but put them in real life, yeah, no thank you.
It's too much, man.
Not into it.
And this one feels like, who's your favorite performance? I feel like it's obvious.
I mean, Emma Stone.
She's so good, right?
By far. And then followed closely by Amanda Bynes.
She does such a good job as a Bible-thumping, good Christian girl, quote-unquote.
And it really sucked because the unfortunate truth is that this was Amanda Bynes' last movie?
Yeah. Wow.
Wrangle with that.
That's very disturbing.
That's 10 years ago?
11.
11 years ago. Amanda Bynes has not acted for 11 years. And folks, like, she's gone through things. I'm not really in a position to, like, I'm still unclear on a lot of the stuff. She was not well.
I know that. Some mental instability
and checked herself in like full on like
and she really has had like a lot of trauma obviously associated with her childhood growing
for
up
sure.
famous.
Yep.
She also worked with that guy on Nickelodeon
that's a problem
is,
Dave
and she hasn't come out about it really, but she has agreed to talk to somebody about it at some point soon for a book or something that they're gonna put out.
That could be good.
Guess we'll maybe get more information because he like really
he fucked up a lot of lives.
Yeah. Disturbing, especially because when I was a kid, all of the shows that he created were my favorites.
Yes, I know.
So that's what really fucks your brain up.
Oh, Dan. And that's the creepy thing, is because she would always, and the Amanda show, it was always, love you, Dan.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he even went in to create What I Like About You, which was another show she did. Yeah, and I loved that show. Yeah.
Damn it, man. I don't know. Amanda Bynes was so amazing. And it's because, especially when you find out, like, she quit acting after she saw her performance of this. So it's just another level of, like, that's because so many people love this performance, and I hear them, like, it's like, Amanda Bynes is amazing. She's so
great in it.
And to find out that she saw it and, like, hated it so much that she wanted to stop. God, I understand that feeling of, like, yeah, of that, and that's really sad.
That is so sad.
Because there's nothing, because everybody adores it, but it doesn't matter. Like, ultimately, Amanda's opinion is really what matters, and if she finds it hard to watch, that's really sad.
Lisa Kudrow said something kind of similar in the Friends reunion, that she doesn't like to rewatch Friends because she can't stand it when she's on the screen.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, whoa, that's crazy.
And we just identify it with such brilliance, but Amanda, like, see, and I get that. It's just, yeah, hardcore insecurities and trauma, like, that'll do it to you. It's like, I can't even look at myself. It's like,
God. Sucks. It is. It's rough.
And she seems to be doing better. She has an Instagram I found.
Oh, you did.
You kind of have to track it down. I'll leave a link for it, though, because it'd be nice to support her.
Support her. Because
she's trying to do better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you recommend or rewatch or both?
I would. I'll probably rewatch it. Yeah.
It's a fun,
because I give it like star rating. Like, I think I gave it let me see what I gave it actually.
Follow Jacob. Yeah, on solid Letterboxd.
3.5. Yeah. Yeah. Follow me on Letterboxd, Jacob Bean Watson. I gave it a 3.5, which is pretty solid. The reason it doesn't get like a 4 or higher or something like that is because there are some problematic stuff that kind of hold me back, and it's just like, but I appreciate it for its time. This is one of the most progressive movies to come out that year for sure.
Definitely, like, pretty feminist. Yeah. Really makes you examine how we treat women and in school, but also just like slut shaming in general and why it's not a cool thing to do.
Yeah,
it's definitely a fun movie that you can have on in the background as well and not have to pay super great attention to after you've seen it, you know.
Yeah,
so good.
So some connections I found: the shower singing scene seems to be connected to Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I made that connection because he does something similar. This is basically, like, if you like this, they reference it throughout, but John Hughes movies, like, you could tell that this guy was coming off of the love of John Hughes movies, but he did it way better. Like, if he hadn't, like, cited it, I might not have made the connection, because, but he clearly was, that's what he was going for. It's like, yeah, this is my modern John Hughes movie. It's like, you do it way better, actually. Like, Stanley Tucci was in Hunger Games and Monkey Shines. Those are movies I like. They mentioned Tom Cruise as a higher power. Hilarious. Emma Stone was in the Amazing Spider-Man movies, and Thomas Hayden Church was the Sandman in Spider-Man 3.
Oh, so they kind of are
connected to Spider-Man in a weird way, but in different universes.
Right.
The Scarlet Letter is an obvious connection. She mentions... Those were the big ones.
Did you notice the oranges?
What about the oranges?
I guess there's a lot of them in this movie.
Oh.
I
remember one scene with oranges.
I guess this guy that created the film, the director, I'm assuming, likes to put oranges in his films. Oh. So kind of a weird thing that's going to distract me if I ever see his name in a movie again.
He's just stealing that from a thing that Francis Ford Coppola did, something to do with The Godfather. Like, apparently, oranges mean death. It's weird.
Lovely.
16 Candles, Breakfast Club, Say Anything, Jack Dempsey, John Cusack.
yes. Yep, you named some people.
Favorite quote. I forgot to ask you your favorite quote. Oh. Did you have one?
Well, you do yours first.
Yeah. So my favorite quote was actually from the teacher of all guys. Like, Emma Stone has so many good lines that it's hard to pick like a good one. But he's like, this kind of speaks to our generation. I'm not sure what your generation's fascination is with documenting your every thought, but I can assure you they're not all diamonds. Roman is having an okay day and just got a Coke Zero at the gas station. Raise the roof. Yeah.
It's a good quote.
It's a good quote.
My favorite is Dolomite is my name and fucking up motherfuckers is my game.
Yeah, the signature line.
Signature line. Yeah. It's solid. It's a good line.
It is. It is. So let's see. So we've done connections.
Want to try to connect the films?
Okay. So yeah, now we come to the part where we try to connect these two very different films.
Yeah.
I've got some ideas. What did you come up with, Casey?
I only have one idea.
Okay. What you got?
And mine is that both of the main characters in these movies create a persona to show the world something else that they're not. They create a character. So, you know, Rudy creates Dolomite to get fame.
Yep.
And Emma Stone creates,
another
version of herself. But she definitely is putting on different clothes and putting on a character when
she references
goes out.
Her alter ego.
Yeah.
And she does it to fit in or to
That scene when she goes on that date with that guy, though, and she, like, dresses up and she's excited.
It's fucked up.
And then he, like, is like, okay,
treats
well,
her like a whore.
I'm going to give you a gift card now. And she's just like, because she thought it was a real date. That scene breaks my heart. Yeah. I'm like, that's really fucking sad.
He almost ran her over.
It's not great.
Yeah, pretty bad. A lot of good actors in this.
But yeah, that's the only real connection. But it is a connection, which shocks me.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that was definitely one that I had. Yeah, that was one. And then another... wait, what? Oh, yeah. Both movies deal with puritanical societies looking down upon activities considered sinful, like fornication.
Yeah, that's so true.
Both do have to wrangle with that. It's just like, they're not going to watch it.
I can't
sex
play
movie?
Your albums.
Yeah, right.
You can't sing about sucking dicks, but you can tell people to whatever he says.
Yeah.
I don't remember what he says exactly. Oh, you can call somebody a cocksucker, but you can't talk about somebody sucking cock.
Okay, yeah.
I was just like, what?
What the fuck?
It is different. You're not wrong.
And then another connection I found was, both feature, like, they have set pieces that feature, like, really over-the-top sex scenes.
Yeah.
Like, Dolomite's a little more so, but definitely, like, all of his, they're exaggerating, they're banging walls and stuff. So there's,
jumping on,
like,
the bed.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You're like,
really
what
good
is
shit.
Happening?
I really liked that actor who played her friend.
Me too.
That's where it gets problematic, you know? That's kind of the big problematic one. It's just like... At the same time, it's still realistic, though, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that argument can still be made, where it's just like, yeah, we would love to live in a world where it's just like, no, I can just be me. Yeah, but no, let's deal with reality, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, so there. Okay, great. So, yeah, we managed to make our connections and all that good stuff. Let's see. What else? Anything else? All right. Do we want to do assignments?
Yeah.
Let's do it. Or no, let's save that for last. Okay.
Okay.
First things first. Thank you for joining us, first of all. I said before, I'll say it again. I really enjoy doing this podcast.
Me too. It's so fun.
So if you like what you hear, definitely recommend us, you know, share us, give us a like, give us a share, you know, leave us a review on the Apple stuff, the Apple podcasts.
Right.
And if you want to send us... well, we don't really have an email.
Yeah, you guys, I'm in the process
of creating.
You got
to get a hold of us
creating.
Through Instagram.
Yeah, I'm working on creating an email, but
eventually.
For now, you can reach out to us on Facebook or on Instagram.
Yeah, Instagram, you can find us at The Movie Connection, all one word.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can follow us individually, me at Jacobine Watson.
And me at Casey Schwartz.
Also, I am a frequent Letterboxd reviewer.
He is.
So please follow me, Jacobine Watson, on Letterboxd. Just to give you an idea, like, some of the reviews I've just posted this week alone, like, we got Kajillionaire, Tombstone, The People versus Larry Flint, Inside Llewyn Davis, A Shot in the Dark, X-Men First Class, and I get it, like, check it out.
Yeah.
I keep my reviews pretty short and sweet, too, so.
Yeah, and very witty. I enjoy reading your reviews. You're welcome.
And recommendations. What do you got?
My recommendation this week is kind of a vague one.
Mm-hmm.
if you guys feel like you want to think outside the box or maybe get a little creative, going on YouTube and just looking up like art classes, like there's drawing classes, there's writing classes, there's, I just did a paints class.
Wow. Okay.
And it's just really fun and a good way to like think outside the box and maybe, you know, leave the structure of everyday life. Like I just finished my finals. So I was like, I'm going to paint something, but I need help.
Yeah.
Like I need a teacher. Right. And I found one on YouTube and she was awesome.
I like it.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Get creative.
Get creative.
What is your recommendation?
That's a good question. It's a good question. Yeah, I'm going to recommend the podcast, Maximum Film, which is a great podcast that isn't hosted by just a bunch of white guys. Like they have a more versatile like hosting group. They mostly deal in like some of the newer stuff, but they do dip into like retro films. Like I think at some point, I mean, they've reviewed Space Jam, they've reviewed all the Fast and Furious movies. They're a really good group too, like really solid reviews and funny and fun. And like, yeah, Iffy, who is one of the main hosts, I follow him on Instagram. He's a really funny guy.
That's awesome.
So check out Maximum Film.
Yeah.
All right, now we can do our assignments. All right. I've got a movie picked out for you. You got one picked out for me. I think like, we try to avoid themes, but these loosely have a theme around like, this is Pride Month. So we kind of went into it with that in mind. Like,
right.
That was kind of the criteria, but that's not the connection. That's
right. That's right? Not the connection. Yeah, and okay. I will probably assign a couple of Pride movies this month just to kind of celebrate and, you know, look for something that's not conventional. Right.
Yeah, for sure. So my recommendation for you, Casey, is called Camp X-Ray. Camp Weird title, I know.
X-Ray.
It stars Kristen Stewart.
Ooh, yeah.
It's like, you know, she's a freak. She's a frequent advocate for LGBTQ.
Yeah, she's amazing.
I just don't follow Kristen Stewart. She's come out as gay, yes?
She's lesbian. Uh-huh.
Lesbian.
For a while, she was thinking that bisexual. She might be bisexual, okay. But I think that she, after the pressure, because I think that she felt pressure after coming out of the relationship.
Easier to tell people that you're bisexual.
And it happens. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think she is gay.
Nice.
Lesbian.
Because she came out with that cool Christmas movie I still need to see.
Oh my gosh. I will put it on your list. Yeah. I fucking love it.
That's another thing. Oh, that's going to be so fun when we get to Christmas season.
I can't wait.
Because that's actually going to be hard for us. Because we've seen all the same Christmas
movies. Yeah, we love Christmas movies in our house. And we like the same ones. We're very traditional in this way.
We might have to switch it up and be like, okay, I'm going to make you watch my favorite Christmas movie. You make me watch mine. Something. We'll see.
Well, we both know that my favorite Christmas movie is The Santa Claus. And we've both seen that. And we've done it.
It's our most listened to episode.
You know what? I love you guys for that.
It makes sense, too. It's so funny because I see the numbers going up now. Because motherfuckers are getting ready for goddamn Christmas in July. I'm like, you guys are ridiculous.
I love you guys. And I understand. Because I always, if I'm in a really dark place, that movie will bring me out of it.
Oh, boy.
Anyways.
It's a solid movie.
It's so good.
I think I've gotten a little ridiculous with it, though. Like, somebody asked, like, oh, who are some Oscar-worthy performances that didn't get nominated for Oscars? And I said, like, Tim Allen for Santa Claus. Like, come on, that's a little ridiculous.
Is it, though? He's excellent in that film.
Oscar-worthy, though?
He's excellent.
Yeah.
All right, your movie is going to be, I'm trying to choose between two, but it's hard, guys. I'm going to go with the one that you would not want to watch more. Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, shit. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Some of these are going to come back to bite me because she knows some of the ones that I've
said. He refused to watch this, you guys.
Yeah.
But he's going to think it's great.
Well, wait.
It is great.
Okay. I'll watch that one. You don't want to make me watch Rocket Man? I mean,
I haven't seen Rocket Man.
Okay. Yeah, that's why. Okay. We need to see Rocket Man then.
But, you know,
He's
also gay.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, I'm just saying. I just heard that Rocket Man's a little better. But no,
well,
this will be okay.
Rocket Man is like, I haven't seen it yet, and I want to watch it really bad, but it's more of like Across the Universe style biopic.
Yeah, and I like that.
And you like that. So I should watch it and then recommend it.
Because this is more traditional music.
This is like a movie band that, movie. Yeah, and it's great. I'm not going to, there's nothing to give away. You know the story.
Yeah.
But it's just like heart-wrenching in ways that you don't expect it to be. So make sure you watch it when you're in a good headspace, because it did like fuck with me for a couple of days after I watched it.
Yeah. Fuck with me. Fuck with me and find out.
Lovely. Yay, Bohemian Rhapsody.
Fuck around and find out. My bad.
This was going to be my first movie that I was going to make you watch, by the way.
Oh, shit. And I'm glad you eased me into it.
I decided to ease you into it because it's a heavy, we're going to want to talk about it, and it's heavy. And I was like, oh, I think we need to wait a few weeks.
Right.
Really find our stride before I assign you something that's ultimately pretty depressing.
I like this because this is, yeah, definitely way away from Camp X-Ray. Like, what the fuck?
Cool. I'm excited.
How we're gonna I love this. Again, once again, I'm like, how the fuck are we gonna connect these? Because we got Freddie Mercury biopic versus Kristen Stewart
camp movie?
You'll see.
Is it a camp movie?
It's not it's
this one time
military
a band camp?
So here's the thing. Kristen Stewart, yeah, military. Yeah,
I'm gonna have to watch this with Josh. He'll think it's
good.
Yeah,
it's good shit. It was recommended to me by my friend Rachel. Shout out to
Rachel.
Ain't gonna listen to this shit. but shout out to my friend Rachel, who recommended it just on a whim. She's like, yeah, maybe check out this, like, because I was like on the board. I just didn't know how to feel about Kristen Stewart because of the Twilight movies.
Hey, and I'm here to tell you, gets if their start somewhere,
exactly. And I'm just saying, if you are judging Kristen Stewart just on the Twilight movies, you do have to see other stuff, because she's actually a good actress.
What is that one movie where she... Adventureland. That's great.
Yeah, that's good.
Oh, my God. I loved that movie.
Season. You've seen that. Oh, okay, so I'll take it off.
Yeah. I've seen it so many times. Great film.
Yeah.
I like Michael Cera. Is that his name? Is that the other one that's
was
in
that
it?
Michael Cera? I thought it was Jesse Eisenberg.
It is just... I get them confused, you guys. I'm sorry.
Everybody does. Everybody
I'm
did.
I'm glad.
Everybody
I don't
will.
Know which one it is, but whoever it is, I think they're a good actor.
Oh, shoot. That's a little shorter of an episode today, but that's all right. We're going to get out of your hair, get you off and into your day, have fun. And, And we'll tune in next week.
See you all next week, guys. Yeah. Bye.
Bye.